Love that track, don't you? Undo My Heart, that's Karen Harding, ex Digital Farm Animals. I don't know, she's on the line. Let's ask her. Karen, good afternoon. What does the X? Is it versus, with, feet? I mean, how does that work?
To be honest, I don't really know. It's just how it is, I think. I remember a lot of tracks maybe a couple of years ago had like the verse, the VS, right?
Yeah.
But now with the X, I think it's more of a collaboration. So it's like we've worked together on this song, like an equal amount, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for being young and trendy and helping me through on that one. How did the collaboration come about?
Well, I guess I wrote the song with one of my friends called Tim Powell, who's done quite a lot of stuff with like Girls Aloud, Kylie Minogue, and everything back in the early noughties, and he invited me down to his studio, so we kind of came up with the melody and the lyric together in his studio, and then we passed it through to Digital Farm Animals because it was through my label. They were the ones who said, "How about Digital Farm Animals has a go on producing this track?" Because we hadn't quite nailed the music behind the melody and the lyrics. So Digital Farm Animals had a go at it, and I knew as soon as he sent his first draft back that I loved where he was going, because sometimes the direction that someone takes can be so different to what you have in your head. Or it can be exactly where you had it in your head without even describing it to somebody, you know, and he smashed it.
So you knew what you wanted, but you didn't know what you wanted, and then you got it.
Exactly. That's pretty much my life.
You've had a really interesting life, if you don't mind me saying. You've had a go at the X Factor, and yeah, you didn't make it through to the finals, but it's done you no harm, that, has it?
No, I mean, the X Factor is one of those things that I feel like every single artist has to go through to experience that not everything is easy and not everyone's going to like you and what you're doing. I think the thing about the X Factor is that you can either come out of it much, much stronger, or it can really affect you. But I think one thing that you have to bear in mind is it's a TV show. It's not a talent. It's not really a music show. So if you have a style of music that maybe they didn't really understand, then, you know, someone else will listen along the way. It's not just about that one show.
Well, you say someone will listen along the way as well. My goodness me, you've got enough followers on Spotify and everywhere, haven't you? And do you think that did help you at least build that area of your audience?
Well, to be honest, I didn't really get that far in that show, I find. And I also had already written my first single, Say Something. It had been on my computer for like a year and a half. So I did the X Factor during that time. It's kind of strange, but I feel like the X Factor didn't really impact anything. It impacted me, like myself, but sure. I don't think it impacted a way in. And it's kind of funny because I don't really like to give credit to that show for being noticed, because I'd already had like the first single. So it's like it's a strange thing how it just happened in my life, but I'm glad that I did it because of the experience, you know.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because really what I'm getting from that is, as you say, Say Something got to number 7 in the UK, in the old good old-fashioned UK singles chart, and loads of airplay on Radio 1. Now that was I've got a few years on you. Back in my day, that was how it was done, and what I'm getting from this is, to an extent, it still is. That still probably introduced you to a bigger audience than a TV programme did.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I mean, yeah, I think the chart is still a huge thing. To me, 100%, if I can get a song in the top 40 or 30, 20, you know, it's a really big deal to me. Because now, of course, the streams and everything go towards that, as well as sales. No matter where the numbers come from, it's still important to get in the fan base and to everything like that.
Well, and it just strikes me when you hear the instrumental version of your track and everything else, when you watch programmes, as I do, like Love Island, it's just so contemporary. It just is bang on point at the moment. It's exactly what the audience are looking for, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's watching Love Island, I remember watching a Love Island episode with some of my mates, actually. It was the first one back. And I remember one of my songs came on that I'd written with a guy called Tom Zanetti. Actually, it came out a few years ago called More and More. And that randomly came on. I had no idea it was going to come on. And I'm thinking, what's this? What's this song? Like the instrument. And I was like, oh yeah, that's my song. It's so strange when those things happen. But that 1 minute of a song can really, people can Shazam it. And they can discover you. It's an amazing way of discovery nowadays on those TV shows.
I love it. I love it. I've always said that I think the best thing about Love Island is the music. And
I agree.
There we go. And on talking of programmes which we love, you and I share a common love. Well, I hope we do. You've had a go. You were also, at one point, you were pitching to be the UK contestant for Eurovision.
Yeah, that was, I think I was like 16. And so naive. I did Your Country Needs You, which was basically the voting section before the Eurovision contestants. So that year, I think it was Josh Dubrovnik. Oh, you'll probably know his name.
Probably.
but I mean, it's a blessing because we came last, as we pretty much always do. Mm. But you know, it was one of those things. I was so young, and I really enjoyed the experience. It was live TV as well, my first ever live TV, and it just blew my mind, really. And again, it's one of those experiences that I'm just so grateful to have had. I look back at it now and I'm dying inside of cringe, but it's worth doing it at the time.
But especially as we were just saying, now that you know you really are there, you are contemporary, and that sort of sound would do very well in Europe. Your sound, I think, it's not about whether the UK market likes it per se. You've got to convince Eastern Europeans, people around the Mediterranean. You've got to get everybody on board. And it is. Would you have another go if we asked you nicely?
It depends on the song, I guess. If it was a song I'd written, potentially, yeah. But I don't know. What was that? My favourite one of the whole time, of the whole Eurovision that I remember is Euphoria.
Oh,
I think it was
Lorraine.
Germany, like a couple of years ago, yeah. And I remember thinking, that's the kind of stuff that should be winning Eurovision. Like, I don't know all the other stuff that goes on, but yeah. It's so interesting, and I would actually really love to have a song written on there for any country in the world. Like, I'd love to. It'd be amazing.
All right, we'll bear that one in mind because it's a huge audience as well, as you say. Yeah, yeah. It's the biggest show in the world. Looking forward then, what's next?
So we have been working towards an EP now, so we're getting a few more kind of collaborations in the pipeline, finishing off a few more tracks and just seeing how we go after Undo My Heart. I mean, we're working solely on Undo My Heart, and I'm just so pleased with the response, to be honest with you, that, I just take these things as they come and then see where we can go from there. So hopefully next year I can tour an EP. That would be amazing.
Excellent. Well, listen, if you get near Cambridge, let us know, because we'd love to get you in and get to have a longer chat with you and maybe get some more songs out of you. That'd be great.
Definitely, I'd love that.
All right, well, Karen, it's been lovely to meet you. Good luck with everything. Great songs, as we say. Just keep doing what you're doing, and keep us posted, yeah?
No problem. Thank you.